Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to a special episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am joined today by Chris Volkraka. He is the general manager of Errormark. You might ask yourself, what the heck is Errormark? And that's the mystery we're going to solve today with Chris.
Well, thanks for having me on, Luke. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, Chris, one thing that I found in doing the episode with the Regents is a number of people reached out and they said, hey, I'm really interested in kind of some of the inside baseball that happens around college athletics. And I said, what about the game day experience, right?
Yeah.
So I got an introduction to you. Errormark, you're going to have to define this for the listeners so that we get an idea. But we're going to talk a lot about food and beverages today in and around Huntington Bank Stadium.
Sure. So I work for Errormark Sports and Entertainment. There are probably 3 or 4 major food and beverage companies that are in stadiums and arenas and colleges across the country. And Errormark is certainly, we like to think one of the top ones. So.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to that, I'm actually here at the food tasting, media tasting event today, which was fun. Got to try some new entrees or desserts and stuff that will be available. So let's talk just a little bit about that. What kind of food are you guys providing, or what kind of services are you providing in the stadium?
Yeah, so we do everything from, hot dogs, brats, chicken tenders, stadium staples that have been around stadiums for years, probably going back into the, 1950s when hot dogs first came out.
Yeah, yeah.
We're able to be done. And then from there, we help facilitate restaurants that come in, so like Parlor Burgers here.
Yeah.
We also take care of the tower, so we've got 2 inclusive clubs and loge level on the 6th floor, and then we've got all the suites, and we take care of press, and we take care of all the officials' meals, and we take care of some tailgates outside, and we run a bar over on the corner of Mariucci and Gopher Garden, and we, let's see, what else do we have to feed? Visiting teams sometimes will go through us. A lot of the college kids like to get Chipotle and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, we might help facilitate that for the visiting team, or we might just make them chicken tenders and fries. In the end, they're all 19 and 20 year olds, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's a specific demographic for sure. So we're sitting here at Huntington Bank Stadium today. And so maybe we can just highlight some of the stuff that was happening with the media tasting. And then we'll get into the things that I'm actually interested in. Not that I wasn't interested in the food, is actually all pretty good, but you had a handful of new items today.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pinwheel item that I tried that was like this was a very Midwestern dish. So it was basically a pickle wrapped in turkey with some sort of like dill cream cheese, maybe.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned to you earlier, my mom is from the upper or the Pacific Northwest. So I did not grow up with these.
Okay.
I did see them at funerals, but I looked at it with a skeptical eye. I tried it today, man, and it was pretty good.
I don't think you'd ever go out with cream cheese on ham with the pickle butter, right? I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s on that kind of stuff in small town Wisconsin. So it was certainly a staple of a lot of small towns. And I had friends that, I was born in Minneapolis, so I had a lot of friends that we came back to visit, and a pinwheel was usually present in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, and there were other items, like there were some tater tots that were referred to as poutine with like a cheese and burger sauce. That was pretty good.
With the World Junior Hockey Championships coming in this year, we're looking, and Canada's kind of the host. I think we're kind of the host school for Canada, so we're trying some different poutines. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy to always like just do a poutine that, you know, with the gravy and everything.
But yeah.
Did a little spin with a cheeseburger, cheese, and some meatballs inside of it. So
yeah,
that's going to be rolling out this year. So we're excited for some of that stuff. And then that'll be over at Oofta. So we've got kind of a Minnesota-centric stand in Section 143.
Uh-huh.
So always enjoy a good Minnesota twist on some classics, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. And there are a number of really good items. We're not going to get into probably all of them. One thing I noticed, though, were these cups that they had in here. I don't know if these cups are specific to some of the indoor clubs or what, but it's these aluminum cups, and they have the old school retro Goldie on them. Can you give me the story behind these, or have these been around before, or have I just never seen them, or
it's
what?
It's the second year we've had that cocktail cup.
Okay.
And we do some other stuff with it. Like it's a slushy cup out of baseball and softball that we used to for it. But really the story behind it is, I don't know if you know this, but HBS was the first LEED certified stadium in the country.
Okay.
So what that means is like we're very sustainable from everything from how water's used to the amount that we keep away from landfills. So like,
sure.
So on average last year, like 85% of the waste that was created out of the stadium on a game day was diverted from landfill and either recycled or composted.
Yeah.
So it's one of the things we're proud of. We've won a couple of awards from the Green Sports Alliance and the National Wildlife Federation for just our overall sustainability. So
okay, sure. Yeah, and no, I think this is really cool because it's very clear that it's aluminum. I imagine that these could be obviously reused, right? And they probably are reused. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously waste is a big thing for everyone, right?
Yep.
So very cool that these are for cocktails. I thought they were really cool. I kept it with me because I wanted to make sure I asked you about it.
Yeah.
It is a really cool retro design, and the guy gave me two, so I'm not going to lie. I'm going to bring these home, and my kids are probably going to drink out of them. Yeah. They're probably going to think that's completely cool.
They're dishwasher safe. You'll probably get, you know, 10 to 12 different uses out of them before they're get crumpled, but just like a can, it can be crushed. So
it'll almost be like a game to see which kid's gonna destroy theirs first, right? This is a game that we can play. Okay, so let's talk some of the logistics. That's really what I'm interested in.
Sure.
You already mentioned you guys are involved with Aramark in a number of different areas, in and around the stadium, and not just obviously Huntington Bank Stadium. But since we are a football podcast, maybe we'll stick here largely. You can feel free to filter in stuff as well. The thing that immediately comes to mind to me is tailgating, right? This is one of the things that sets college football apart from other collegiate athletics and largely even professional sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said you have a couple of locations you're doing there. Tell me, let's just start a game day. Like, what does a game day start like for you and your team of people? And like, let's just go there. Like, what? Let's start, and I'll give you a fictitious time. Let's start with the 11 a.m. game, right?
Sure. So probably about the time I get up at about 2 in the morning, my chefs are already here. So,
oh wow.
You know, since we're doing sweets, like there's a lot of like slow roasted prime ribs and pastrami's and things like that are started either, you know, if we're doing brisket, it starts 24 hours and they come back in about 2 a.m. I think the vast majority of our chefs are in by 3 a.m.
Wow.
But they're up and going, and you know, like it's, you know, it's every bit of, you know, 2,000 pounds of hot dogs that we have to get ready to get going every game, and it's probably about 1,500 pounds of chicken tenders, just stuff like that. So when you start thinking about like what you buy in the store, it's a case for us is 10 pounds. And like, that's probably, I think if you buy it out of the freezer, that's probably about a pound.
Okay. So, yeah. So we're looking at like literally significantly more. So then for you guys, you're getting in there, you know, pretty early, 'cause you got a lot of prep stuff. And like you said, it's slow roasting things. Is there, I imagine there's tons of stuff even throughout the week that's happening probably to get things ready for a game day.
Yeah. I mean, we're moving chicken tenders, we're moving hot dogs. I've got a great warehouse team, you know, we'll sell over, I think it's about 30,000 cans of beer at a game, so we have to move all that. You know,
yeah.
I hope people have noticed, like, the big push has been, like, to increase speed of service, so we've gone to a lot of, like, market concepts inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to stock all that.
Yeah.
And make sure it's cold and make sure it's, you know, the can wasn't dropped and, you know, no one wants half-off cans of beer.
Yeah.
Falling off of the racks and everything. So we just want to make sure that everything looks nice and it's ready to go.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk maybe a little bit about beer. It's kind of a good segue. Beer is still relatively new here in Huntington Bank Stadium. Well, I shouldn't say relatively new. It's maybe actually been in the stadium longer than half the time. I don't actually know the exact year it came about. What year did it come about? Do you remember?
Yeah, it came in gradually. There's the old adage in food and beverage, like, you want to walk, crawl, or crawl, walk, run.
Yeah.
With anything you try that's new. So I think the university really took that approach in a lot of ways that they've rolled out alcohol, and mm-hmm. we've been a great partner with them for going back to 2006. And 2013 was the first year the beer was in here.
Okay.
And it started outside of Gate A.
Yeah,
you could buy it out there, and then slowly it came into West Plaza, and you had to buy and consume it in West Plaza.
Yeah,
and then as the Vikings rolled in here, I think in 15, it kind of started expanding throughout the stadium.
Okay, yeah. So, and you said that you're having to truck in an incredible number of cans, right? And then you've got these market concepts, and from my vantage point, it has become more efficient, right, as a way to be able to get whatever you need, whatever kind of concession you need. One thing that I notice is there's a lot of people working, right?
Yeah.
And you can't micromanage all of that. So how do you guys even on a game day communicate and get your plans together? Like, is the training happening beforehand? Mm-hmm. How does that all those logistics happen?
Yeah, there's quite a bit. I'll start with, we have a great set of nonprofit workers that work for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably 13 different groups that we give over, I want to say it's $500,000 back to,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's everything from youth sports to churches. You know, I know one of them has a trip down to Jamaica every year, and they help,
sure.
and they do that with their church. So, you know, we start off, and we have some great people that have been back year after year after year. And, you know, it starts with alcohol training, it starts with food safety training, you mm-hmm. know, understanding that the food danger zone, you know, what that means and why we can't serve cold food. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I think we've come a long way in the 7 years I've been here. And mm-hmm. certainly, you know, it's a big belief of Aramark that, you know, everything we do is safe and everything that we do is, you know, good quality. And that's really what we try to strive for. It's never perfect, but certainly, you know, we certainly try with the sheer amount of, you know, we have 75 different points of sale that are in here from you know, between markets and clubs and suites and concession stands, and you know, it's like 75 small different restaurants.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're as good as our weakest link, as we always say.
Okay. Yeah, and then I do like how, you know, now you can do basically everything with a card and the whole tap feature and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously made things more efficient and quick. Okay, and then tell me about the tailgates that you have, or the stuff outside of, you said you have a couple of bars and those sorts of things. Like, what do those look like on a game day? You know, there's obviously probably build stock and then tear down.
Yeah, there's a couple different tailgate areas that are open to rent. So one is mm-hmm. we do the front porch of Williams Arena.
Yeah.
One is the lawn outside of 3M Arena at Mariucci.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the South Lawn, which is kind of by the Benton County and Fanatics Gate over there, mm-hmm. that you could rent for your own tailgate party if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So we do all the food and beverage for that and provide the alcohol. And it's kind of if you don't want to, like, haul everything in your car, it's a great option for, like, a company or a special occasion or something like that. So,
okay. Yeah. And that totally makes sense. Okay. So I imagine if we're at, you know, kind of tailgate time, we're getting near to kickoff. Mm-hmm. Are things starting to get really crazy inside the stadium, or how do things change as people start to file in? You know, you've done like a fair amount of prep, et cetera, sure. But how are things changing from a logistics standpoint for you guys?
Yeah. So like I said, our chefs are in, you know, start at 2 a.m. Rest of the staff's here by about 4:30 in the morning. Certainly we have to go turn on all the different, you know, grills and flat tops and fryers and steamers and everything else that goes in the stadium to prepare and everything, get all that going. You know, we want to make sure it's working so we can get it fixed.
Yeah, right.
Nothing worse than, you know, a piece of equipment going down on game day, but it does happen.
Yeah.
We go through and we log all the temperatures and the coolers to make sure we didn't lose any refrigerators overnight. You know, I think we have probably close to 120 different refrigerators in the stadium.
Wow.
that just house food. So, you know, we're going through just to make sure that all that stuff's safe before we start cooking. We have logs that have to get put out. You know, every group starts checking in probably about 7 a.m. I think most of our staff's in the building by 8. And by 9:30, we're up and going and ready to go with your favorite cocktail or favorite beer or favorite hot dog. So
okay. So we're basically at game time. People are starting. Do you guys plan for halftime? Right? Because, you know, there are these breaks naturally in football games. Like, do you have any special training around that, or is you always got to be ready mentality?
We have a complete data team that tells us essentially when we need to have things prepared. Right. So like, we know how many hot dogs, like it's probably about 1,000 pounds of hot dogs out of, 100 pounds of hot dogs at every stand. So it's about 1,000 hot dogs at every stand. And they tell us when to prepare it. Like, we have software that goes in and analyzes everything.
Yeah.
It says, you know, cook 15 hot dogs at 9:30, cook 35 at 9:45. Like,
yeah.
So
is this a real time, or is this largely historical?
It's largely historical. I mean, there's like, I'll say this, like, we were talking about tailgates, like, one of the things that HBS brought back and the athletic department really pushed was like creating that tailgate experience outside for people to be able to do it themselves. Like, I don't know the dome. I think you could do it over in the parking lot by the liquor store that used to be over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that was one of the big things that when the stadium came back to campus that the athletic department's really focused on is like getting that tailgating seat going again. And I think like everything else, it's really kind of taken off and people are out there tailgating. So we're careful, like, unless it's like a heavy visiting team game, like, so in the Nebraskas and Wisconsins and stuff, like, we try to temper expectations on what we're preparing in concessions until closer to like 45 minutes before kickoff is when we start seeing an influx of people coming in.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't realize. I should have assumed that you guys have like analytics that you're using to help drive things. That totally makes sense. Okay. So we're kind of nearing maybe the end of the game. What does that look like for you? You mentioned to me, I was asking you kind of what game day looks like, and you said you have a lot of steps, right? That you get in personally. So maybe give us your personal experience on a game day. What's that look like, especially as we're starting to round into the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I have a great management team, so I'm trying to move to be supportive and hear fan feedback. You know, like, there's an old adage in stadiums, if you see a line, like, something's probably wrong.
Okay, sure.
So if I see a line forming where no other, and the stand left or right of it doesn't have a line, I'm thinking there's probably a technology error, there's probably an equipment problem, or, you know, something's really popular and we need to take a look at why there's a line. Probably expand it, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm roaming around. Like, my morning starts walking as Gopher Garden opens. And if we have tailgate parties going at Williams and Mariucci around the South Lawn, just going out to make sure everything's set, that we don't need to run back and get anything last minute. You know, like I said, we've got, you know, just suites alone, there's 41 different suites.
Yeah.
So that's 41 different catering parties that'll happen between like 12 and 22 people, right?
Yeah, crazy.
From there, we've got 6-floor indoor club that opens and Cambria club that opens. And, you know, we've really done a good job of like making Cambria an experience with, you know, live entertainment and things like that, stuff for the kids. And, you know, we're just making sure that everything's up and everything's going, and we want to make sure everything's fresh and we're not putting too much out too soon, things like that.
So. Yeah, no, that's awesome.
But yeah, my day, I'll probably put in 30 to 40,000 steps a day. So
so you could say Sundays are a good day to put your feet up, maybe?
Yeah, but sometimes we're going the next day. Like, we've got, you know, ladies soccer going out in St. Paul.
Sure.
Or we've got fall softball happening.
Sure.
So, I mean, and then pretty quick we get in October and hockey's going, and then we get in November and basketball's up and going. So, I mean, there's weeks that we might have two hockey games, a basketball game, a women's basketball game, a volleyball game, and then soccer and then football on Saturday.
So there is basically no rest for the weary.
The summer.
Yeah, this summer. Yeah, you guys look forward to the summer. It's almost like this is a school or something. Yeah, I totally get it. Okay, cool. So you're wrapping up. I think one thing that people that go to restaurants and, you know, stadiums and stuff that probably don't get to appreciate is how much effort goes into after the game is done, mm-hmm. and all the cleanup and the, you know, the I don't know if it's the standards or the requirements they have to keep things clean from like a regulatory perspective. Mm-hmm. But what's that look like then for your team? I mean, we've talked about the cooks that are coming in or chefs that are coming in at like 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. Now we've got the cleaning, right?
Yeah, everything's got to get cleaned. You know, we have a, you know, like I said, there's probably about 1,000 people that we have working for us on a game day. So mm-hmm. like we do ask that things are found left better than we've been found, mm-hmm. but we still have a crew come back through probably Monday or Tuesday,
sure,
depending on how the week shakes out with other sports, but come back through. They do a detailed clean of every stand. I would put our central kitchen up against any kitchen in the city as far as cleanliness. My chef Jolene is just, you know, maniacal when it comes to making sure things are clean.
Yeah,
she has a competition against our Midwest safety guy named Jack that he comes in and tries to find like dust in the corner. Like,
yeah,
like
okay.
Like that's where we're at with how clean she is. So, you know, I would eat here. It's certainly something that we take pride in and want people to feel safe when they eat in the stadium.
Yep.
And it's one of those things that we're constantly checking.
Yeah. Okay, so we've kind of gone through some of the logistical stuff. Is there anything that I just missed that we really should talk about logistics-wise on a game day? Like, I was fascinated with the data piece. Like, that totally makes sense. I found that really interesting. Anything else that we missed, though?
Yeah, I mean, we look at transaction times. So, like, yeah. We built the Hall of Faves on the 50-yard line of each side last year.
Yeah.
And it's a market concept. And, like, now I'm seeing it pop up at the Twins. Had, like, kind of did the same thing this year.
Yeah.
With Target Field. But it's... You know, we're just trying to get people through as fast. So, like, we look at, like, how long transaction times are,
mm-hmm.
you know, to know if we need to add more points of sale. Like, I mean, 5 years ago, the stadium didn't have a point of sale. Like, we were still on Casio calculators.
Yes.
And trying to figure it out with cash, right?
Yep.
And so we've really made a big push into technology over the last couple of years, and there's more coming this year. You'll start seeing gift cards be available probably sometime in September.
Sure.
As well as you start seeing some promotional stuff that like comes through digitally, like the Twins have with loaded tickets and things like that. Mm-hmm. So all that's coming down the pipe this year.
That's awesome. Okay.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs. Plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Other things that I want to talk about, just out of curiosity. So you mentioned like Parlor, or you look at mm-hmm. new beer like Duck Duck Beer that was introduced in the stadium like pretty recently. Mm-hmm. What's that process look like for anybody that's trying to get into the stadium? I imagine they have to work with you at Aramark. Or am I wrong? Is it something they don't have to work with you? How do new items like this end up making their way into Huntington Bank Stadium?
Well, we're a big believer in supporting Gopher Nation. So like we want people that, you know, Parlor donates all their proceeds back to Dickeytown Athletes.
Yep, exactly.
You know? So, like, certainly you tell me that you're doing that, I'll certainly have a meeting with you in a heartbeat to see if we can get you there, right? Like,
yeah.
We want people that are supporting student athletes. We want, you know, there's marketing initiatives. Like, why is Domino's here? Well, they have a marketing initiative, but I think they've also come a long way in the quick service pizza department from where they were 15 years ago.
Sure.
You know, at one point we had Subway, but, like, there are those corporate ones. Chick-fil-A is another one we have a corporate affiliation with.
Yeah.
And there's ones like Lotus. And like, I went to the restaurant and liked it.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Talked to him about coming in, you know, like
yeah.
There was barbecue cabin over in section 114. Saw him at the Faribault county fair
sure.
4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And then there's recommendations that come through friends and things like that that we look at. So I think, you know, the biggest thing is, like, I'm always willing to listen. And sometimes restaurants, there's so many different ways to do it. Sometimes they want to operate. Sometimes they want us to operate their own, their concept for them and pay them a royalty. So all kinds of different fun ways that we can do things. But, yeah, if you support DTA, if you, you know, have an agreement with the athletic department, like, certainly those are two quick ways to meet me.
So. Okay. So if anybody's, like, been just dying to get into Huntington Bank Stadium or Williams Arena or 3M Arena at Mariucci, the best way is to be partnering with DTA in some way, or you're going to have to like it, or they partner with the athletic department.
Yeah. If I think it's cool, that's another thing.
Okay. Then,
if people tell me it's cool and they're going there.
Yeah. That's interesting. Okay, that's cool. That's really good to know. The other things I'm interested in, we talked about this a little bit with beer and, like, the introduction and how beer came into the stadium.
Sure.
But now there's also, like, there's cocktails, right? And this has kind of been a gradual thing over time, I think. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's appeared to me. So, yeah, talk about that and rolling that out and the logistics behind it and, like, what you guys had to do to be ready to offer something like this.
Yeah, you know, one of the nice things about the stadium is it's, I guess, until Northwestern's new one's finished, like, this is the newest stadium in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
So we do have some creature comforts that were built into the stadium 20 years ago when it was designed.
Yeah.
So, and one of that was bars.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the infrastructure is here already, especially in premium. So we're ready to go with that. But like I said, the university wanted to do a crawl, and the athletic department in general, we agreed with it that it was a crawl, walk, run approach to it. So last year was batch cocktails.
Yep.
This year we'll do full service bars and
sure
premium, and then just for speed of service, we've kept the craft cocktails out in concessions this year as well.
Okay.
And then we're hoping next year, you know, if you've read the plan that we submitted to the Board of Regents a couple of years ago, we're looking at returning hawking to the seats as well.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's interesting. The crawl, walk, run probably makes sense just from the standpoint of, like, let's slowly introduce this. You know, I work in product development, right? Mm-hmm. And we often say, like, let's get it to a certain point where we feel like we can do this well and learn from it. And there's this kind of iterative approach of how we can improve it. And now we can layer on even more additional features.
Yeah. I think we want to be safe as the ultimate goal.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
You know, like, one of the challenges for us is, like, we don't know how long you've been tailgating for.
Yeah.
You know, have you gone to bed from the night before? Back when I was in college, maybe we got 2 hours of sleep before we went to tailgate. Right?
Yeah.
And so we want to be safe with it. We want to make sure the staff's well trained. We want to make sure you're being safe and being treated safely. It's our responsibility to get you out of here safely.
So, yeah.
You know, we just want that to be the central focus of anything we do. Really, it's an amenity that's for the fans. And,
yeah.
And, you know, the Gophers are in a major market that has five other stadiums and arenas in this market that all serve liquor. So it's another fan amenity that we're just trying to, you know, compete and offer and make sure people feel comfortable when they come to a game and they get what they want.
Yeah. Okay. And speaking of fans, you know, you told me you look at, like, obviously transaction data and some of this. Mm-hmm. How are you guys getting feedback from fans and those experiences? And I want to put out there too, I often feel like when it comes to products, people normally only get negative feedback, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to distill through the noise and kind of find the signal in there, right? Because in the reality is, like, there's 50 some thousand people here some games, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're getting, you know, handfuls of negative complaints, that's a lot of happy people too, right? Mm-hmm. Sufficiently satisfied people, maybe, is a better way to put it. So how are you guys getting feedback from fans and incorporating that into the changes or the improving the offerings you have?
Yeah, I think a couple ways. Like, one, the old adage in our industry is no news is good news. So
okay, sure. Yeah.
If I don't hear anything, I know it's probably working. Or
yeah.
You know, one, we do intercept surveys for one game every single year.
Sure.
So we send, like, about 20 college-age kids into the stand with iPads and the concourse, and we go through the first quarter just to gauge, like, what did you like? How long did you wait in line?
Sure.
What would you like to see? You know, a lot of times, like, the thing we notice with stadiums is, like, if you're in section 131, like, you're going to 133 and you're going to 135. You're probably
not
touring the stadium, right?
Yeah.
So, like, awareness is a big thing that we try to create, and feedback comes through season ticket holder. There's a survey at the end of the year that the Gophers put out. You know, we have our Twitter handle, which is Gophers Food. We have Instagram where we do reels, and we solicit feedback through that.
Yeah.
People reach out through those channels. I don't think it's very difficult to find my email on the university
just like
website.
Just a search.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people talk to me. Like, I graduated from the U in 04.
Okay,
so, like,
sure.
I stopped down, you know, with my friends who are in one section 117.
Yeah.
Just to see what their kids are eating and drinking.
Yeah.
Know, getting their feedback. And they'll all tell me, right?
Yeah.
They're all a couple beers deep, so they have no filter at that point in the game, especially if we're losing, you know what I
yeah.
mean? So, and that's the other adage, you know, like, I have to take it with a grain of salt sometimes, like, you know, we always say the hot dogs are always hotter after a win, right?
Yeah.
So, like, people are happy when they leave. Like, I think, you know, sometimes I get beat up, but, you know, I think people don't want to sit in traffic on the way out of here, so they get mad about that kind of stuff.
And then, yeah.
You know, they can certainly start tweeting about stuff at that point.
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. And you have to take, especially a platform like Twitter, with a grain of salt, especially, right? Because it seems to be a lot more negativity there. I just want to point out, you said people don't typically go between the, you know, outside of like one or two sections. Mm-hmm. I just want to tell you, I came here with my kids,
yep.
and my wife really wanted a parlor burger, and she was not walking, right? Yeah. So I hoofed it with my then 3-year-old from right over there, all the way over to there,
yeah.
and then all the way back, and he wasn't walking, so I carried him all myself.
I've been there.
Yeah, so you know the struggle is real, but it was fun. I came back and I said, well, I don't need to work out today. I just had to mosey through how many people to get there. So
yeah, and I think that's what we created with West Plaza, was like,
it's wonderful.
I think it's a destination place.
Yes.
And we've tried to, like, you know, Curds and Cakes has been here for years. Brat Dog's been here for a couple of years now. Obviously, Parlor's a big addition down there.
Yes.
So, you know, I want to expand that at some point. You know, the more sellouts we get, the more we can expand things.
Yep.
You know, we want people that come in and work with us to make some money and have a good product and certainly feel supported by the Gopher fan base. And I think this all goes into the feedback that we get, right? You know, I'm sure there's some IPA beer that somebody wants us to carry,
yeah.
you know, and I think last year we had 24 or 25 different beers out there.
Yeah.
Between cocktails in a can and,
yeah.
you know, Castle Danger from up in Duluth to
yeah.
Grey Duck here.
Yep.
Duck Duck beer. You know, sadly, they're going to move out of cans after this year. So we've got about 80 cases that we've got for the first couple games.
Okay.
But once that's gone, we're moving on to Coors Light and Miller Light and things like that too. So.
Sure. Okay. Other things I'm just generally curious about, I imagine you're watching the industry at large, especially in athletic venues. Like, what are some innovative things that you're seeing them do there? Or what are things that you've copied that you've seen elsewhere and brought here?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, there's an old adage in food and beverage. It's called R&D. It's rob and duplicate.
Yeah, okay.
Or rob and, you know, elevate yep. it, or rob and twist yeah. it, or however you want yeah, to yeah. do it. You know, I think speed of service has been like the biggest thing that every stadium in the country is probably going mm-hmm. after. And just to get you back to your seat, right? No one wants to stand in line.
Yeah.
Like, I remember going to Lambeau Field as a kid and, like, you stood in line for 25 minutes to get a hot dog that was, you know, steamed and then put into a foil bag. And you're lucky if the bun was still put together by the time you pulled it out. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, we've tried to elevate just the hot dog here and just put it in a sleeve instead of trying to put it into a foil bag.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those basics are always there, but everything, like U.S. Bank does a marvelous job, you know, Excel does a marvelous job of what they do for people. I think you just, you know, what kind of experience do you want to go to when you go to a game? If you want to just sit in and have a hot dog and sit in stands, like, we can certainly do that for you. But if you want to sit in a suite and you want to have prime rib and you want to have
yeah.
Buffalo Trace bourbon this year, like, you can certainly do that too.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe just like a last question for you there. I think it's like the Colorado Rockies had this, I think you can correct me. You maybe would know better than me, but they had this one select beer in the stadium that was like $5, right? So really cheap. How well, like, what's the value proposition there? Like, why are they doing that? What's you know, what's the bit there? Because every other beer is super expensive, but they're obviously pushing the one. Why do they do that? And if we can do that here, like, is that even feasible?
Well, we do, and like, we do it for to try to draw some people in early.
Sure.
So we have Gopher Hour in the West.
Oh, yeah, the Gopher Hour, yeah.
And then we also have it up in Cambria. So, you know, we're trying to do that just to, A, to decrease the line because everybody wants to come in 10 minutes before kickoff, right?
Yeah.
And so anytime you try to get 30,000 people through five gates 10 minutes before kickoff, obviously there's a line.
Yeah.
So, the more, you know, but tailgating is important too. So, you know, I like when I tailgate, I try to shut it down 15 minutes before kickoff at least and try to get in there, right? And I think they do a good job of like, I think we've done a good job as a stadium of like moving to no bag lines and options for people to get in quickly.
Yeah.
Like the hidden secret to tell your listeners is like come in through gate C, through the student section.
Okay. Yeah.
Like your ticket will get you in there.
Yeah.
And by that point, like no one's coming in through gate C.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. I think specials and things like that, like limited time offerings, like I, you know, all that stuff's coming this year. Like there's a Yeti promotion that we're doing.
Yeah.
That includes like all you can drink soda for the game for the second game of the season. So we're definitely looking at things like that just to make things more fan centric and create value inside the marketplace for people that want to be at a Gopher game.
Okay. I said this was the last question or that was the last question. I mean it when I say this is the last question.
Sure.
For you, is there a sport in your team that you maybe enjoy most? I know we talked a lot around football, but is this the venue you like to work out of the most? I know they're all special, but like what kind of venue in terms of serving food and beverage is kind of the most fun?
I think football is the most challenging, the most fun for me that I get to have. Like I was, my first year was when the softball team went to the College World Series.
Oh yeah.
And so that, you know, Jane Sage College was packed every game. And we were trying to figure out how to do added food and beverage to a 1,000-person stadium, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that, like, softball's fun. It's like Little League steroids on, like, or Little League baseball on steroids
with
people that can hit, you know, 300-foot shots out, like, out over center field.
And yeah.
There's just a lot of strategy and fun, and the fan base is so into it. Like the thing's been sold out for, I think every year that I've been here. So we just keep trying to find little ways of like in soccer, we just did a corn roast the other day.
Yeah.
So some of the smaller sports, like we, you know, have passionate fan bases, like volleyball sold out with 5,000 people every game. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, the Pav was coming up on 100 years old. So we're trying to figure out how to like increase food and beverage speed and service over there right now. And
Okay. No, that is really cool. This is really fun, Chris. It was a great opportunity to learn kind of the inside baseball of what happens, because I think we all take for granted our game day experience, and a lot of it's actually made by you. Like, yes, there are other things that happen within the stadium besides just the game that make it part of the full experience. So I appreciate your time and just sharing and, you know, pulling the curtain back a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, Luke, and thanks for having me.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See lowes.com/rebates for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.